James chapter 1, we're going to finish the chapter today. But James chapter 1, verse 19 says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. This is probably one of the most popular verses in the book of James, at least in certain circles. And I say that because this is the verse that I taught a lot on when I worked with children's ministry. When I worked at the daycare in Ephrata when I was in college, we would do before and after school care for the school-age kids, and every morning we would do devotions. And we spent a whole week looking at James 1:19, be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's a great verse when you're working with kids. You know, because you can teach, look guys, you got to think before you talk. I know you're kids, and you got to think before you talk. James says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. You know, stop and listen. Be respectful. You have to listen to the adults. Stop and listen. Be quick to listen. We would always use the adage, you have one mouth and two ears, so you should listen twice as much as you speak, which is why I named the sermon today, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. We use this verse all the time. We actually made up motions to help them memorize it. We referred to it all day long. Anytime you had to talk to a kid about a behavior issue, you say, now, are you being quick to listen? Were you being slow to speak? This is a great verse for working with kids. It's interesting, though, to think that we often taught this to our kids, and we thought this is a great verse for kids, and then we'd walk away and go home. I don't think when James wrote his book that he was necessarily writing it for the children's ministry department. He was writing it for the whole church. And so it's really important for us, even as adults, to be quick to listen and slow to speak. It's a great verse to refer to. But the interesting thing that I was, as I was looking this week, is this isn't the main point of James' section here. James' main idea, his main passion at this point of his book, is not the concern about our speech to listening ratio. There's something deeper that James is trying to get us to understand. And to understand what he's really trying to look at, we need to start where we left off last week. Last week we did the first half of chapter 1, and we ended on verse 18. And it's there that James says, God chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. That God chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Last week, we spent time looking at this discussion of how we can find joy in life's trials. And that was a challenging place to begin. How do we find joy in the midst of hardships? And we talked about how we can go and we can ask God for wisdom, and he can help us to navigate trials, and he can help us to navigate through our sinful desires. James ended with this idea that God gives us new birth through the word of truth, that God has planted something within us. Says God has put his word inside of us, and he wants to see something new. He wants us to be new creations. The challenge with being a new creation in God is that we now have a battle between our new self in God and our old self. Because our sinful desires are still there. James talked about that last week. He said, your sinful desires come up, they bubble up, and they want you, they try to tempt you to leave God. And so here James says, look, you have a new birth in Jesus Christ, but you also have your old self, and those sinful desires build up. And the Apostle Paul talks about this several times, but one of my favorite references is Romans 7:15, where James, or when Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And you see, even the Apostle Paul dealing with this struggle, he has new birth, new life in God. But at the same time, his sinful desires build up. And he wants to do the right thing, and he doesn't. And he doesn't want to do the wrong thing, and that's what he ends up doing. But notice this battle. It says, we have this battle between our old self and the new birth that God planted in us. But take notice that James says that God chose to give us new birth. He says, God chose to give you new birth. In other words, God wants you. Nothing twisted God's arm and said, you know, God, you have to give them new birth. God wants us. God wants us to be with him. He wants us to be his family. And yet we are in this battle. We want to live for God, and yet our old sinful desires keep coming bubbling up. And we have to figure out, how do we navigate these temptations? How do we conquer this battle to live a life fully devoted to God in this new birth he's given us? And so as we look into the second part of the chapter, James spells out, how do we move forward in this new birth? How do we move forward in the blessing that God has given us? Now, how do we overcome, as Paul was, how do we overcome that which we hate, our sinful side? And obviously the answer here is that God will give us his Holy Spirit, has given his Holy Spirit to help us. That we're, if we're attentive to God's Spirit, we can live in this new birth and overcome sin. But remember I said last week that James is a very practical book. James is an extremely practical writer. So he says, look, God's Spirit's going to help you, but here's some very practical tips on how to conquer the old self, how to live in the new birth. So we're going to look this morning at some practical steps of how we can overcome. So we'll start at verse 19. James says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So James says, God chose to give you new birth. Now pay attention, take note, look here, this is really important. You should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. This is where we arrive at that all-popular verse of being quick to listen and slow to speak. But notice now the context that James is speaking in is the context of our new birth, about the word that God has planted within us. This practical step James brings us to is we need to be quick to listen to the word of God. As our old nature and our new nature come into conflict, how do we respond? James says you need to be quick. Your first response needs to be listening to God. Going to his word saying, God, I'm at struggle between what I want to do and what I know I should do. God, what should I? And the first thing we need to do is listen. Are we quickly turning to God's word when we need directions? Are we quickly coming before God when we feel this conflict rising up within us? Now, at the same time, James isn't talking only about listening to God. Everything that we taught the kids at the daycare was relevant. We should be quick to listen and slow to speak when it comes to talking to our peers, when it comes to our coworkers, to our families. This concept that James is bringing us is practical on all levels of life. That we should be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry with God and with people. Think about this. Can I be quick to listen and slow to speak when I spend time in God's word, when I spend time in prayer, but not do those things with everybody else? I can try, but now I'm almost being two different people. I'm one person with God, and I'm one person with everybody else. If we are quick to listen and slow to speak in all aspects of life, it defines who I am, what my character is. And so James is bringing us to this idea that we need to be quick to listen in all aspects of life, with God specifically, but in all aspects, because it's how we build up a godly character. It's how we move forward into being slow to angry, slow to get angry, slow to process, listen, take it all in. James says if you want to overcome the old self, slow down a bit. Be quick to listen and just process. It's in this that we begin to overcome. Are we the kind of people who listen, who really take time to hear what's being said in a conversation? And that's hard. It's hard for me, I know at least, because as soon as I'm in a conversation and someone says something and they're kind of continuing on, I'm already formulating what I want to say back. I have my response already started. But that's not being quick to listen. That's being quick to speak. He says, be slow to get angry. Do I stay calm? And that's even harder yet. Because if there's a conversation that's taking place that's attacking me, my family, my character, my friends, my family, whatever it is, I instantly want to defend myself. And yet James says, you know, spend time really listening to what's being said before you respond. Our first response should always be to be quick to listen, to come before God and listen, to listen to others, and then pray for that wisdom to know how to respond. Well, James continues on in verse 21. He says, therefore, after being quick to listen and slow to speak, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. He says, be quick to listen, be quick to hear from God, but we also, he says, need to accept the word. He said, receive the word from God. Now, on the surface, listening to something and receiving it, accepting it, are kind of the same thing. Except if you're a parent of a teenager. How many of you said, go do X, Y, and Z, and they're playing their Xbox? Okay, yep, mm-hmm. Did they hear you? They responded, yeah. Did they receive it? No, and I, of course, my parents are here this morning, so I'm going to say this, hopefully they don't. But I was a perfect teenager, all right? I always heard what they said, and I did it. Mom's nodding. Okay. On the surface, listening to something and receiving it, accepting it, are kind of the same thing. Except if you're a parent of a teenager. How many of you said, go do X, Y, and Z, and they're playing their Xbox? Okay, yep, mm-hmm. Did they hear you? They responded, yeah. Did they receive it? No, and I, of course, my parents are here this morning, so I'm going to say this, hopefully they don't. But I was a perfect teenager, all right? I always heard what they said, and I did it. Mom's nodding. Okay. But this is the difference. It's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to receive it. And James says we need to receive it. We need to accept it. We need to take it in. He says, therefore, as you listen, as you are quick to going to the word of God, accept the word that God has planted within you. Do you notice this theme of almost a garden that James is working with? He says that God gave you new birth through the word to be first fruits. He says God gave you new birth because he wants to see this new thing grow up within you. And now he says, when you accept it, when you take it in, it's because God has planted it inside of you. He's using this idea that God is trying to grow something new within us. And we're going to conquer, we're going to grow when we're quick to listen and we receive what he has to say. God wants something new to grow and he wants us to mature. Last week we talked about trials. We talked about James says, count it joy when you face trials because these trials are going to mature you. They're going to help you be hardy and healthy. But there are also times in our lives where weeds begin to grow up. And James says to get rid of all moral filth and evil. He says, as you listen, as you're accepting and receiving God's word, you're going to start to see things in your life. As you're growing up, you're going to start noticing the weeds, these moral filth and evil, as he refers to. And so he says, well, you need to get rid of it. You need to weed the garden. Now, some of you are gardeners and you love being out in your garden. I am not a gardener. I do not like weeding the garden. In my ideal world, I would rip the weeds out and I would be done with it for the whole season. I'm already finding that out. We had to go out to our big flower bed and we had this viney, grassy stuff around. We spent hours ripping it out and clearing the thing out. And we're moving out of our rental here in the next 2 weeks. I thought, great, I've cleared it. The next tenant can move in and it'll be clean for them. But already, 2 weeks later, I'm seeing this stuff come back. This is what James is saying to us is we need to spend time getting rid of the moral filth, this evil, this sinful stuff we see bubbling up in us. As we come and we listen and we receive God's word, we have to constantly be looking at ourselves, looking at our lives and saying, what do I need to get rid of? What do I need to clean? How do we conquer the old versus new? Well, we need to get rid of the old. Paul talks about dying to the old, crucifying it with Christ. We do that by constantly looking and receiving what God says. At the same time that we're weeding, the same thing we're getting rid of this filth that we struggle with, we're receiving God's word. And James points out how we receive, how we accept God's word matters. How do you spend time? How do you approach your time with God's word? One of the biggest challenges that I personally struggled with when I was in Bible college was how to approach God's word. Because we were getting textbook after textbook after textbook to read, and at the same time, we were being asked to read all these chapters in Scripture. And it was very easy for Scripture to become a textbook. That I would approach it, okay, I need to read these three chapters tonight for this assignment. Okay, I've read them, now what do I have to say? It was very easy to think, oh, I know all of this. I've grown up in the church, I've read my Bible several times. Clearly, I know what God's Word says. But James says, as we come to listen and receive, he calls us to humbly accept the word. Another other translations would say meekly accept. There's a level of humility in coming before God in need and want of his word. That we need to come to God with a proper perspective of who we are and who he is. Just stop for a moment and think about yourself. How big are you? Most of us are 5 foot something. So in the grand scheme of how big you are, think about how big Lancaster County is, and all of a sudden you don't seem as big. You think about Pennsylvania, United States, and I've always seen those videos where it just kind of zooms away from the planet. All of a sudden you're in the middle of the universe and you can't even see the planet Earth. And to think that you are just a speck on a speck on a speck. We are nothing. We are simply specks of dirt, specks of dust. And yet, God loves us. To think about the message of Easter, that God sent his only son to die for us, mere specks of dirt. Yet God knows us and he wants us. As God chose to give you new birth. God wants you. He wants me. He doesn't matter that we're mere specks. He cares about us. And so as we spend time in God's word, as we spend time praying, reflecting on scripture, to realize that we are coming before the all-powerful God who made everything and cares about us, these tiny little specks in the universe. And at least for me, that humbles me. And it gives me a new perspective as I come to God's word to realize I'm spending time with words from my Savior, words from my Creator. Are you spending time in God's word? Are you spending time listening because it's expected of you? As Christians, we all spend an hour reading our Bibles every day. And you go, okay, I'm going to check that off my list. Or do you spend time in God's word because you want to receive from God what he's trying to teach you? Being quick to listen. I was reflecting this week a bit on the parable of the sower. And we looked at this a few weeks ago. And Jesus tells a story about the farmer who goes out and he throws out the seed. And what happens to that seed? And we looked at what do we do as Christians? What do we do as we receive God's word, as we receive the seed? Do we let it grow in us and produce things? And we looked at how some of it falls on the path and some of it on the rocks and the weeds. And some of it grows and some of it gets choked out. And we asked the question then, I'm asking it now, do we let God's word grow up within us? As we come quickly to God's word and we receive God's word, are we letting God's word grow in us as we weed out the bad stuff? Or are we just taking his word, hearing it, but doing nothing with it? If we want to grow, if we want to be mature, to be the mature fruit that God is calling us to be, we need to be quick to listen in all things and to receive the word that God gives. But for James, this still isn't enough. James wants us to do more. He continues in verse 22, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do." James says it's not enough to listen. It's not enough to take God's word in, but we actually have to do what it says. We actually have to do what it says. We are called to obey God's word as we walk through life. The real challenge is actually putting into practice, obeying what God has asked us to do. But this is the key to living in the new birth that James is calling us to. To take what we hear from God, to hear it, to receive it, and actually do it. And James uses this illustration of a mirror. He says, look, it's like if you look into a mirror and you forget immediately what you do. If we look into God's word and we read these things to do, and we walk away and don't do them. It kind of reminded me, if you want to get a little fun here this morning, of Snow White and the Evil Queen. The mirror analogy got me. The queen goes to the mirror every day. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? You are queen. You're the best. You're wonderful, queen. Now, in theory, she could ask that question one time. Oh, I'm so great. And she could go and she could live it out. But what does she do? Every day she goes to the mirror asking the same question. She gets the same answer all the time until one day she doesn't. And then we have the story of Snow White. But notice, she is so consumed with constantly looking into that mirror that she doesn't live it out. You say, queen, you're the fairest of them all, and she should just go and live in that glory. And Snow White would be great. But instead, she has to constantly return to it because she doesn't act on what she receives. In the same way, as we come to God's word, we need to receive it and put it into practice. It's one thing to spend time in God's word, reading his word, and we should be doing that every day. But it's another thing to receive it and do it. Otherwise, we're just looking at it for the sake of looking at it. What are you doing based on what God is telling you? And this was a question that we asked a lot back in February. We had the series, we talked about doors. What doors are you opening? And we talked about how in Scripture, we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be witnesses for Christ. We are called to go and evangelize the world. And we put that in the reference of opening doors and inviting people in. And I asked that question over and over all month. What doors are you opening? How are you reaching the world for God? It was one thing to listen. It was one thing to receive those words, but it was another thing to put them into practice. And I really enjoyed hearing some of you tell me how God is calling you to open doors and reach your community. But what else is God calling you to do? Scripture tells us to do a lot of things, not just to do evangelism. Are you spending time being quick and going to God's word, spending time receiving God's word? And what are you doing based on what God is calling you to do? James says we need to look intently into the perfect law. Look intently into God's word. Why? Because he says it gives us freedom. This isn't something that bogs us down and chains us. As we understand how God is calling us to live, it brings freedom. And when we continue in God's word, when we act upon God's word, James says you will be blessed. Sometimes I wonder if our lives get challenging, if our lives get hard because we're not spending enough time intently looking at God's word. Because if God's word brings freedom and blessing, then I wonder if hardships come from not intently looking. We need to spend time being quick to go to God's word and receive it and act on it. James continues in verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so James comes to the end of this section with a test, with a self-assessment, asking the question, how is your religion? Now, we need to understand what James means by religion. Because today we talk a lot about how being a Christian, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's about a relationship with God. So when James says, how's your religion? I instinctively think of this very formal, how are you following the set of rules we set down before you? But when James talks about religion, he's talking about the ways in which our heart-shaped relationship with God is expressed. How is your inner relationship with God? How is it being shown to the world? How are you living out what you feel in your heart? This is not a formal list of do's and don'ts. But instead, this is just heart attitudes that James is asking us to look for. These are the outpouring of our love and our devotion. It's signs that people will see in us and know we belong to God. How, in other words, do we live in this new birth from God? Well, here are some signs that might show you you're succeeding and doing well. A self-assessment. So the three things that James brings us to, he says, one, do you keep your tongue in check? How are your words? What comes out of your mouth? Two, are you caring for those in need? He talks specifically about widows and orphans. The question is, how caring are you? How are your words? How caring are you? And third, are you keeping yourself unpolluted? How pure are you? As you battle between your old nature bubbling up, how are you doing? How are you doing kicking those weeds out? And these are the three things James calls us to. He says, look, you have new birth in Christ. There's a challenge there. Your old self is bubbling up. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Receive it, act on it. Here, let's do a quick check. How are your words? How caring are you? How pure are you? The interesting thing is to look back at verse 18, where we started this morning. Because these three things that James challenges us on are the three things that he uses to define the character of God our Savior. He said, God chose to give us new birth. And we see here the spontaneous care that God has for the helpless. So how caring are you? Because God is caring. He continues in verse 18 that God chose to give us new birth through the word of truth. That God speaks truth. What words are coming out of your mouth? Do you speak truth? Do you speak life? And he says that God gave us new birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. This idea of God's purpose of holiness. These three things define God and who God is in giving us new birth. And James says they should define us as we live out our relationship with God. It's the old adage, like father, like son, like father, like daughter. We are being called to be like our heavenly Father, to have his character. We take his gift of new birth and we grow into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And we do this as we listen, as we receive, as we weed out the bad stuff, and as we obey. When we do those things, we grow. This idea right here is what James's book is all about. He says, you have a new birth. Here's your check to see how you're doing. The rest of the book of James, the next four chapters, all focus on these three topics: a caring ministry, a controlled tongue, and a holy life. These are the things that James says help us to live for God. These three things show our faith, the outworking of the new birth within us. Now, again, this is not an exhaustive list. James is not saying if you care for others, if you control your tongue and live a holy life, you are set to go. You don't have to worry about anything else. He's not saying this is the ticket to salvation. Check these three boxes and you can go to heaven. This is just his starting point. But this is an important starting point. He said this is who God is. This is the God who gave us new birth. And this is what you are called to be, how you're called to live. And so simply this morning, I ask, how are you doing? James gives us a self-assessment. How are you doing in your faith? How are you doing in your relationship with God? Are you quick to listen? Are you listening intently? Are you receiving God's word? And are you putting it into action? Are you obeying it? Are you watching your tongue? Are you caring for others? Are you maintaining purity? These are the umbrella, if you will, of what we're called to do as we live out our faith in Jesus Christ. God chose to give us birth. He chose us. He wants us. And he wants us to grow in him. Are you growing this morning? Are you growing? God, this morning, as we enjoy the sunshine streaming into the windows, as we enjoy this time as a family of believers worshiping you, God, we also recognize that, as James told us last week, our desires give birth to sin. God, we are a fallen people. We were born into a life of sin, and our natural desire is to walk away, to let our desires build up to sin. And yet, your word also says that you give us new birth through the word of truth. So God, this is the battle that rages within us, and yet God, we know you are right there with us. You have sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to conquer sin, that way we may have new birth in you. God, you have given us your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us through the battles of life, that we would be more than conquerors. And so Lord, this morning I pray that you would challenge each one of us to renew our commitment to you, to renew our commitment to your word, to renew our commitment to being quick to listen, to receive all that you're giving us and blessing us with, that we would outpour from our heart a love and a compassion for others, that we would pursue purity and clean, kind, loving words, that as the world looks at us, they couldn't help but seeing the character of our Heavenly Father flowing through us. We ask this, Lord, as we go into this new week you've set before us, that we would be salt and light and witnesses to the world in your name. Amen.